Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's turn our Bibles to Luke, the 10th chapter. The thing we're going to hit on is the ABCs of faith. A, authority. B, believing. C, confession. Those are the ABCs of faith. Glory to God. A, authority. We have been given authority. Jesus talks about it here in Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 17. Jesus just sent out his disciples to preach the gospel and to heal the sick, cast out devils. And in verse 17, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, I give you authority. Now, some translations say power, and of course, authority is power. But more specifically, it is talking about authority, the power of authority. And Jesus says, I give you this authority. And how did he give it to them? By giving them his name. Notice what they said. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to you in your name. They didn't just go out there doing things in their own name. They did what they did in the name of Jesus. And demons responded to those disciples as though it was Jesus himself giving the command to go. And you and I today have been given the name of Jesus. We have his name. And therefore we have this same authority that he's speaking about here. The authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Somebody say, nothing can hurt me. Imagine if we believed that fully. I mean, you'd never fear a thing. You'd never fear anybody. I mean, if we really got rooted and grounded in understanding what Jesus just said here. He says, I give you authority to trample on over all the power of the enemy. Of course, Satan is our enemy. He and all his demons are behind everything evil that is taking place in the world today. They're the ones that inspire it. They're the ones that empower evil in the earth. They're the ones that cause evil things to come to pass. But Jesus has given us authority over the root of every problem in this world, so that nothing will by any means, in any way, hurt us. That means no matter what kind of weapon is formed against us, it will not prosper. In fact, it'll only turn around for our good and for God's glory. But we will not be taken down. We will not be taken out because we have this incredible, amazing authority. We have it in the name of Jesus. Jesus had this kind of authority. When Jesus walked the earth, he trampled. He trampled over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, didn't he? I mean, there was no fear of anything harming him. He had such peace. No matter what kind of storms arose, there was no fear in Jesus whatsoever because he had authority. He had authority over every evil thing, over every kind of storm that would try to cause him to sink at sea. Every kind of plot, scheme of man that was devised against him, Jesus would walk right through the midst of angry mobs that were determined to kill him. But no one was able to take him before his time, before he laid down his life. And friend, this is the exact same authority that you and I have been given. Jesus knew the authority that he had. He abided in the truth of these things we're talking about this morning, that we have authority. Jesus abided in it. He remained. He continued in these truths all the time. It was the meditation of his heart continuously. That's why he just remained in faith and was able to get through every trial, every test in life. Faith understands its authority. Faith knows it has authority in the name of Jesus. Faith knows that. It does not doubt that. It's not ignorant of that. It knows that. We need to know that. If we're going to walk in faith, and remember what it says over in 1 John, that this is the victory over the world, even our faith. That's our victory. Over anything that comes at us in this world, we can have victory over it, and it's through faith. And faith knows its authority. If you don't know your authority, then you can't walk in faith. You got to understand your authority. Faith is authoritative. Faith is the heart of a king. It's the heart of the King of Kings. How many of you know kings are authoritative? Right? Kings have authority. When you're in faith, you're walking like a king. You're thinking like a king. You know you're a ruler. Now, you don't rule over everybody here in the natural, but you do rule over demons. You do rule over devils. You do rule over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You do rule over these things. Somebody say, I got authority. Man, we got to believe that. We got to know that. When we walk through this life every day, we need to be reminding ourselves constantly, I have authority. I have authority. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Doesn't matter what's going on around me. 1,000 may fall at my side. You might be in the midst of a great crowd of people. Thousands of people. And people are falling all around you, right at your side. Yet he tells you, though 1,000 may fall at your side, though 10,000 may fall at your right hand, it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. Nothing shall by any means harm you. See, we need to meditate on that more than the evening news or the morning news and afternoon news. Because now they got news 24/7. Continuously. And a lot of folks, their hearts are full of those things. We need to be full of the good news. I said we need to be full of the good news no matter what kind of evil things are going on. What happens if I was in there? No weapon formed against me will prosper. In the name of Jesus. Just as surely as Jesus walked through an angry crowd of people seeking to kill him, no weapon formed against him was able to prosper. It's the same with you. It's the same with me. Because it's not based on our righteousness. It's based on the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. It is in his name that we trust. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. So we can't see it in the spirit, but we're in a strong tower. And the enemy can't penetrate it. He can't penetrate it. Though he would try, he can't break through and take us out. Because we understand, we know we have authority over him. We have authority over evil. We have authority over the weapons that would be formed against us. We have authority over every kind of plot and plan of the wicked one. We have authority over it. Nothing will hurt me. Nothing will hurt me. Nothing will hurt me. You need to tell yourself that. You need to preach to yourself the good news. I ordain every one of you a preacher to yourself. You're all preachers now. Preach to yourself and preach yourself happy. Declare the good news over your life. You got to remind yourself of these things constantly. Otherwise, you just fall into the same trap as the wicked. And that trap is called fear. Thank God we don't have to fear anything. We have authority. Notice over here in John chapter 5, in verse 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. Everybody say, Son of God. You might want to underline that in your Bible. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So the same life that is in the Father has placed in his Son. Verse 27, and has given him, the Father has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. You might want to underline Son of Man if you underline Son of God. Notice it talks about the Son of God and it talks about the Son of Man. And then he's talking about authority. The authority that he has. The Father has given Jesus authority because he is the Son of Man. He has authority in this world. So being the Son of God, he has authority with God in heaven. But because he's a man functioning here in the earth as a human, he also has authority now on earth. And you and I have the same thing. When we were born again through faith in Jesus, we were born of God, born of the Spirit, and we became sons and daughters of God. So we are sons of God. We have authority in heaven. And because we're in this world, and going back to the authority we have in heaven, we're going to rule and reign with him throughout all eternity. The authority that we have now, we're going to have to. The Bible says over in Corinthians that do you not know that the saints will judge angels? That's authority. I mean, the day's going to come where we will be giving judgment concerning angelic beings. Beings that have been around a lot longer than we have. And yet we're going to give judgment concerning them. They're going to come to us for judgment. That's the kind of authority we have in heaven. But also, we have authority in this realm, in this natural realm on earth, because we're also sons of men. We're born of flesh and blood, and we live in this world. So that gives us authority in this world, just like Jesus. So Jesus had authority in heaven, and he had authority on the earth. Notice what he says in Matthew 18, verse 18. He says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You and I have authority to bind and loose things in heaven and on earth. Glory to God. We can bind the devil, stop him in his tracks, stop him cold. Oh, praise God. We don't have to be afraid of demons anymore. Aren't you grateful for that? We don't have to worry. We don't have to run. We don't have to hide. We don't have to panic. We don't have to be afraid of our circumstances because we understand the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. And over here in Matthew, let's go there to Matthew 8. we'll start in verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed." Now, how did he know that? How did this centurion know that if Jesus just spoke a word, his servant that was sick would be healed? How did he know that? He tells you, he explains it to you in the next verse. He says, because I also am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And verse 13 tells us, and his servant was healed that same hour. But notice, this man understood authority. He said, I also am a man under authority. I find that interesting that he said, I also am a man under authority, as though he knew Jesus was under authority. And of course he was, wasn't he? We just saw that in John 5. He was under the authority of his Father. He was carrying out his Father's wishes, his Father's will. The Father had given that authority to him. But how did the centurion know that without a Bible? He didn't have the Gospel of Matthew. How did he know that? Jesus must have been talking it all the time. Jesus, what we read in John 5, Jesus talking about the Father and how the Father has given him authority to execute judgment. He must have been saying that all the time. Jesus must have been talking all the time about his authority, his relationship with his Father, how his Father had given him this authority, that he was out doing the will of his Father. He wasn't doing his own will. He wasn't carrying out his own wishes and his own desires. He was doing the Father's will. It was his Father's authority that he was operating in and not his own. So that's why the centurion said, I also am a man under authority. Are you under authority? Are you under authority? This centurion understood that him being under the Roman authority, he had authority to carry out Rome's will with Rome's power. He understood that. He also understood that Jesus, being under God the Father's authority, he had God's power backing him up. And all things are possible with God. So then he knew all things must be possible with Jesus, because Jesus is under God's authority. And because of that, he was able to receive the power of God through Jesus into his servant's life. See, he was a man of great faith. Notice what Jesus said. He said, I have not seen such faith, not in all Israel. And yet, what was the man talking about? He was talking all about his authority. His authority and Jesus' authority. The man understood authority. And thus, the man had great faith. Why did the man have great faith? Because he had a great understanding about authority. Faith understands authority. Faith has a great respect for authority. We live in a world today, a society today, that is full of anarchy, having no respect for authority. And that's why you have a exceedingly wicked, faithless, and perverse generation on your hand. Because where there's no understanding of authority, there is perversity. But you and I are faith people. We love, respect, and honor authority. Authority is a big deal to us, because it's a big deal to faith. And without understanding authority and being under authority ourselves, we'll not be able to walk in authority. We'll not be able to walk in the authority of God that's been given to us in the name of Jesus. That's why he says over in James 4, verse 7, Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, we all like that part where it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Don't you like that? Resist the devil. Amplified says, he'll flee from you as in terror. Terror. How would you like to be a terrorist to the devil? Huh? Well, how can you do that? Well, you got to do the first part. Therefore, submit to God. See, that's not as popular as the second part of that verse. See, that second part is very popular. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. As in terror. Well, what about that first sentence? Submit to God. Submit to God. See, that's what gives us authority over the devil. It's our submission to God. So when you submit to God, you're resisting the devil. When you submit to God, you don't have to put up with the devil. I'm submitted to God. I'm submitted to his righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm submitted to his word. I'm submitted to his will for my life. I'm following his plan for my life. I seek to do things his way, not my own way. I seek out his counsel, his guidance, the guidance of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm following God's plan for my life. I'm submitting to God. I submit to God and resist the devil, and he is terrified of me. Praise God. Somebody say, demons are afraid of me. Because I'm submitted to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's exciting, isn't it? Praise God forever. Now, we believe that. Faith believes the word of God. Faith believes what God says. And faith doesn't just believe with the head. Faith believes with the heart. With the heart. Notice what it says over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe. Let's just stop right there. Those who come to God, what? Must believe. Must believe. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You come to God, you got to believe. You got to believe that he is. You got to believe that he is, and you got to believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You got to believe that God's going to give you the desires of your heart when you come asking him for things. He's going to reward you. He's going to give you the things you're seeking him concerning, which is his word, his promises. He's going to give those things to you. But you got to believe. And again, this believing is with the heart, not with the head. There's two kinds of believing. There's a believing with your head, and there's a believing with your heart. There's a lot of things you can believe with your mind. But we're not just talking about believing with the mind. We have all kinds of information and knowledge that comes to us all the time that we believe. A lot of people think faith is believing what you can't see. And it is. But you believe things that you don't see with your mind all the time. You believe with your mind that there are radio waves in this room, don't you? Have you ever seen one? Have you ever seen one? No, you've never seen a radio wave. Yet you know it's here, right? Somebody says, there's germs in the room. People are coughing. You're on an airplane. Someone's hacking away up there in the plane. That air is circulating through the cabin. And people get all uptight about it as though they're afraid that's going to get on them. Why? Because they believe in germs. Have you ever seen a germ? Some you may have under a microscope. But unless you look at microscopes, you've never seen a germ. Right? There's all kinds of things. Do you believe in the air? How many people believe in the air? Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen it? You've never seen it. You've seen the effects of it, pushing the trees around. You've seen the air, its effects in this world, but you haven't seen air. Right? So there's a lot of things, and you're convinced of it, right? Could I come over there? Could I convince you? I'm telling you, there is no oxygen. There's no such thing as oxygen. Oxygen does not exist. Could I talk you into that? No, you're convinced of that, but you're convinced of that where? In your mind. All right? So there's a lot of things you can be convinced about, and you believe in that you do not see with your mind. But we're not talking about just believing with your mind. We're talking about a believing with your spirit, a believing with your heart. And so just like the mind believes facts, the spirit believes the truth. Just like the mind hears, gathers, and believes information, the spirit gathers and believes revelation. Information is knowledge that comes to your mind. Revelation is knowledge that comes to your spirit. And what comes to your spirit, revelation that comes to your spirit, faith or believing with the spirit, believing with the heart, supersedes anything you would believe with your mind. It supersedes the facts. The truth supersedes. The truth supersedes the facts. Revelation supersedes information. So when you have revelation about something, man, it makes you rock solid. So that no matter what kind of information, no matter what kind of facts are coming to your mind, with your spirit, you're able to believe against those things. You're able to believe contrary to what the facts are telling you. Contrary to all the information that is in your mind about a certain subject or situation. Because you have revelation on it. You have revelation on it. Revelation is deep. Revelation is from God. God gives us revelation through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Holy Spirit. And again, it's a spiritual thing. God speaks to our spirit. He lights things up in the very heart of our being. And things that just come to our mind, the things we believe with our mind, are very superficial in comparison to the things we believe with our spirit. So above all things that you and I should be seeking in life, we should be going after revelation. Revelation. Not just settling for information. Even like this word tonight. There's a lot of information being given. There's a lot of facts that are being spoken out. But in the midst of the things being spoken, there's truth. And there's revelation to get a hold of with your spirit. And that comes by being open, having an open, hungry heart. Listening for God. Looking for understanding that's deeper than just information that comes to our mind. Can you say amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness." I love that scripture. Wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The Common English Version Bible says it this way, "And I discovered that wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness." And then the SJF translation, that's the Stephen Joseph Fraser translation. That's my own translation. Why not? Why not? I might as well get in on it. There's enough translations out there, versions out there. I might as well get in on it. "Then I saw that God's wisdom surpasses, outshines, and supersedes the temporary facts of this world, just as light supersedes darkness." God's truths are eternal. All facts and information are temporal and passing away. But the eternal things, they last forever. The eternal things last forever. So we want to build our life on eternal things. And no matter what kind of facts are coming at us, we listen to our heart. We're listening to our spirit. We're in communion with the Spirit of God. We have been downloading, filling our spirit up with the Word of God, so that when we get into a crisis, we get into a situation in life, we look at the facts, we're gathering the information, but we're listening to our spirit. We're listening to our spirit, and we're looking for that revelation from God. And God gives us that word in season, lights up His word on the inside of us, lights up His will on the inside of us, reveals His truth to us in the crises of life, so that revelation comes and causes us to be able to triumph over every kind of fact and thing that is temporal taking place in the natural world. Can you say amen? So we're looking for revelation. Which means what? We're looking to believe with our spirit. You got to get that. That's a big one. Believe with your spirit. You got to know when you're believing with your spirit and when you're not. Notice here in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now he's telling you what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We can say not seen yet. In other words, you say, well, I'm believing God for something. I'm believing God concerning something. I don't see that yet in my life. I don't see it. I don't feel it. In fact, all the facts are telling me just the opposite, and that these things will never be. But I believe God that it will be the way He said it. All right? I'm in faith about this situation. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. What does that mean? That means when you're in faith, you got evidence that you have what you don't see. What's the evidence that you have what you don't see? Your faith. You got evidence. You got proof. You got some papers. You got a guarantee that this is yours. Everything says it's not, but you pull out your guarantee. You pull out the evidence, and the evidence is faith. Faith is the evidence that you've got what you don't see yet. But if you don't know that you got faith, then you don't have any evidence. In other words, you got to be able to identify when you have faith, because your faith is your evidence. And if you can't identify whether or not you're in faith or not, then you don't know if you have any proof that you're going to have what you say you have. You got to have proof. What's the proof? It's your faith. So you got to know you have faith. Do you see what I'm saying? You got to know you have faith, which means you got to be able to recognize faith in your heart. Because faith, we're talking about, the faith we're talking about is of the heart, not the mind. So you got to know when you're in faith or not. And there's been, you know, plenty of things, you know, throughout life where you know what the Bible says. You believe the Bible with your mind. Oh, I know what the Bible says. By whose stripes you were healed. Oh, I know that. Yeah, I know that. Well, you can know that with your mind. You can be convinced of it in your head. But that doesn't mean you're in faith. And there's been plenty of times, you know, a fresh trial, a fresh test arises. And I mean, I've been through this before. Been there, done it. Have overcome it. Here we are again. Another trial, another test in this area, and I'm speaking the same word to it in the name of Jesus, using my authority, claiming the promises of God, believing it, but yet I can tell my believing is superficial. It's in my mind. I've got to get down deeper. I'm more in the mind with it this time than in the spirit. I got to get over to the place where I have evidence. I got to get over to the place where I got the guarantee, where I got the proof, where I got the knowing, where I got this thing with my spirit, not just with my mind. You got to be able to tell the difference. A lot of people just come at things with their mind so many times. We're believing God, and they claim the promises of what they're believing, but their believing is superficial. It's in the mind, and they don't really have the proof. They really don't have the guarantee. You got to know, I got the proof. I got the guarantee. How do you know? I'm in faith. How do you know that? I know faith. I know faith. I know this is in my heart. This is not just in my mind. You got to know when it's in your mind and when it's in your heart. And just because it was in your heart last time, that doesn't mean it's in your heart this time. You see, I can say it this way. It could be in your heart, but you're not in your heart. You're in your mind. You're more in the flesh. You're more concerned and aware of the natural circumstances rather than being over here in the spirit, in faith. Because remember, you can have faith in you and not be in faith. You can have faith in you but be operating out of your mind. You could be in the flesh, we call it. Just in the flesh, operating out of your mind. So it's not enough just to have it in you. You've got to be in there with what's in you. You've got to be in the spirit. You follow me? And you got to be able to know that. You got to be able to know this. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. You know that you're knowing with your spirit. You're not just knowing with your mind. And that's a place to live. To live in that place. But sometimes it comes out of being in continuous fellowship with the Lord. Continuous fellowship with the Lord. But you come into a trial and a test, maybe something you haven't been up against in a while. You just haven't been meditating on that, thinking about that a whole lot. Now you got to get over there. You meditate on it, you think on it. Don't just settle for believing it with your head. Know that you got the guarantee in your spirit. You got your spirit bearing witness, or the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit concerning this situation. Faith is a spiritual thing. It's a believing with your spirit. Romans chapter 10. So faith knows its authority. And faith believes. And it's not just a believing with the mind. It's a believing with the heart. With your spirit. Romans chapter 10. And in verse 10. It says, "For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation." Notice there, for with the heart, everybody say the heart. For with the heart one believes. I mean, my whole life I had heard about Jesus. My whole life I heard about Jesus. Grew up going to church. Went to a religious school. Heard all kinds of teaching about Jesus. Celebrated Christmas, Easter, all the Christian holidays. I mean, surely I was a Christian. And yet I wasn't. Because my knowing about and believing in Jesus was superficial. It was of the mind. It wasn't of the heart. See, when the truth gets in your heart, and when you believe the truth with your heart, it transforms your life. It transforms your life. Mental knowledge doesn't transform your life. It can enhance your life. It can radically affect your life and bring change to your life, but it doesn't transform your life. The truth transforms you and empowers you with the power of God from the inside out. That's what the truth does. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, not just with your mind. You'll know the truth with your spirit. And the truth will set you free. It'll set you free. See, when we really get this thing with our spirit, it absolutely brings liberty into our life. It transforms our life. It causes us to walk as kings and queens, as men and women of authority. It causes us to walk fearless in life as overcomers. We don't tiptoe around the serpents and scorpions, but trample on him. Hallelujah. We're not trying to avoid him. We just go ahead and trample on him. We're not on the defense hiding from him and saying, oh, thank God, no serpents and scorpions will come near me. No, bless God, faith's going near them. Faith puts you right in the heart of the battle. We're not cowardly. We're not fearful. Man, faith just gives you victory. Puts a spirit of victory in you. When it's in your heart, when you're believing with your spirit, that's faith. So when I believed in Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, heard it my whole life. And then my heart became open and more open and more open. Finally, I was like, I got to know the truth, God. I got to know what this is all about. What's life all about? I had to know. And man, the next day after I asked God, I said, God, I need answers. Next day, this woman says the name of Jesus to me. This born-again woman. And when she said his name, man, the lights went off. And I went home that night, and I said, Jesus, like I had never said Jesus before. I had said Jesus before. I had said prayers in the name of Jesus. I had talked about Jesus. I joked around about Jesus. But now, I said, Jesus, I believe that he is. I believed with my spirit. And when I did, I said, Jesus, come into my life and save me. My life was radically transformed. I wasn't the same man anymore from that day forward. I was completely changed. I was completely on a different path, going in a completely different direction, seeking a whole different plan for my life. How many people know what I'm talking about? See, that's faith in the heart. Not just believing the truth with your mind. And we have to stay on top of that all the time. Keep ourselves in faith all the time. Believe. Notice what it says again, Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes. Not with the mind, not with the head. With the heart one believes to righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Confession is another vital part of faith. Faith believes in the heart, and it speaks what it believes with its mouth. You got to say what you believe with your heart for it to work for you. You can't just walk around and believe in your heart about Jesus. Isn't that what it says? For with the heart, one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Now, of course, we think of salvation. We think of being born again, becoming a child of God, and that's all true. But it goes even beyond that. The word salvation means healing, deliverance from every evil thing. So how are we going to be delivered from every evil thing? How are we going to be delivered out of every trial and every test that comes at us in life? Because I got news for you. There's more to come. Just in case you didn't know that. Don't be surprised. Why is this happening to me? I already told you. I told you before it even happened. Trials and tests are coming. It's a part of life. Does that worry you? Should that worry you? Why? Because you have faith. Because you have authority over the devil. That you know no matter what happens, nothing will by any means harm you. You believe this with your heart, and you're declaring these things with your mouth. Well, I know that. Oh, how much have you done? How much declaring have you done today? I'd like to follow you around. See how much you were talking out of your head compared to how much you were talking out of your spirit. See, we can grow in this. We need to be speaking more and more out of our spirit. Speaking more out of our spirit. Which may mean we need to slow down in responding to things from our head. And stop and wait on the counsel of God. Be led by the Spirit of God more in what we say and how we respond to things in life. Huh? Our confession is very important. We got to be speaking the right thing. Because a lot of people are praying one thing, but then they're going out saying something else. And then they wonder why they're not getting what they're praying. Well, you're not getting what you're praying because you're speaking something totally different throughout the rest of your day. You're praying, God, I thank you that you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, you became poor that I might be made rich. I thank you, Lord, that you're prospering me. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, and Father, I just believe you right now for that mortgage payment to be paid in Jesus' name. I believe for that money right now. Devil, take your hands off the money. Jesus' name. And you have a great time of prayer. And then you go out there into your day and you start doing your budget. You start looking at bills. And all of a sudden, we start saying things like, where's the money go? We never have enough. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how we're going to get out of this situation. These people don't pay their bills. Blah, 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 blah. All these negative things about money we speak out of our mouth. So that our saying contradicts what we're praying. And as long as our saying is contradicting what we're praying, we're not going to have what we're praying. We're going to have what we're saying. You're going to have what you're saying more than what you're praying. Because Jesus said you'll have what you say. That's what he said in Mark 11. He said you'll have whatever you say. Say I'll have whatever I say. I have whatever I say. All right, now you better start renouncing a lot of things that you said today. Start renouncing them. Start repenting for them. Because you have what you say. What did you say today? Some people say so many things, they don't even know what they said. You need to just repent and say, God, forgive me for anything I said I don't even know I said. Because I haven't been keeping track of what I'm saying. Because I just don't think much about what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying doesn't seem to be all that important to me. And yet Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Didn't he? You'll have what you say. If we really believed that, I think we'd be watching over our words. We'd be guarding our confession. And we'd make sure that we're only saying the right thing. Notice here in Romans 10, verse 6, it says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Stop. Faith speaks a certain way. Faith speaks a certain way. It speaks this way. Do you see that? The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. All right, how does it speak? Do not say. That's what it says. Do not say. So faith speaks a certain way. Are you speaking the way of faith? Because if you're in faith, you're speaking a certain way. You're speaking this way. And one of the things you're saying is do not say. In other words, don't say that. You're on yourself. Faith is on its words. Faith is all over its mouth. Faith is guarding what it says. And it gets around other people, and how many times? I mean, you know, I find myself, I'll say to somebody, I'll say, I wouldn't say that if I were you. Well, that's just like saying, don't say. Do not say. Do not say. That's how faith talks. You get around faith people, you know. Don't say that. Well, what I meant was, yeah, but that's what you said. Now, don't say that.
Well, yeah, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, but you said it.
Yeah, but that's what I meant.
See, you're not taking your word serious. Well, what I meant was, well, you meant what you said. Because that's what you said. And we can catch ourselves where we're at by the things we say. We can catch ourselves. I remember one time I was praying. And I said, Lord, and I was frustrated. I had started out in the spirit, but drifted over into the flesh, had gotten over into the mind. This is years ago. I was studying out a particular subject, and I got stumped. I just got the flow wasn't there. I wasn't getting more revelation, and I was like, I needed more. And I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, I need more information about this. And then I went, what I meant was revelation. And he got all over me. Faith got all over me. He was like, yeah, but you didn't say that. You said information.
Yeah, but I meant revelation.
Yeah, but you said information. See, it located me. It showed me to me that I was operating out of my mind and I was seeking information. And that's why I wasn't getting anything. So I said, Lord, I repent. See, I didn't just blow it off and say, yeah, but that's not what I meant. Well, I did say that, actually. I said, that's not what I meant. I meant revelation. But I couldn't get away with that. See, I had a conviction. I knew it was wrong. The faith that was in my heart recognized I had missed it. See? So I repented for it. I said, Lord, forgive me for that. I repent for that. I got over here. I've been looking for information. I'm in my head here. I'm not operating out of my spirit. Lord, I can't figure this out, because that's what you're doing. See, when you're looking for information, you're trying to figure things out. I'm over in the Word of God studying, and I'm trying to get information. I'm going to figure this thing out. I got this good subject going here, and I'm going to finish. I'm going to get a hold of this by figuring it out. You'll never figure out the Bible. The day you start to figure out the Bible is when another denomination starts. We don't need another denomination. Stop trying to figure it out. So I recognize, I repented, humbled myself. I said, Lord, I need revelation from you. You got to show me these things. And I mean, boom, right back in the flow, and I got answers. Just like that. Just got all kinds of revelation from God. Hallelujah. We got to catch ourselves. Can't just believe with our head. We got to believe with our heart. And we speak a certain way. And again, we can identify ourselves and where other people at. A lot of people say, I'm doing everything right. I'm believing all the right things. And then they talk a little bit longer. You go, oh. And then you hear the worry. You hear all the doubt and unbelief. You hear it. But the problem is they need to hear it. We need to be able to hear what's coming out of our mouth. In other words, pay attention to what you're saying. Words are powerful. Words are important, and faith understands that. Faith doesn't treat words lightly. Remember, it was words that created everything that we see. Bible says everything's created by the Word and upheld by the Word of God's power. It's all upheld by His Word. Words are powerful. Not just for God, but for you and I. That's why He said life and death, Proverbs 18:21, life and death is in the power of God. We like to say that. But Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death is where? Power of the tongue. Whose tongue? Your tongue. Life and death. So what you're saying, that's what you're going to have. You're either going to have life or you're going to have death. I just can't seem to get out of this. I just can't seem to change. You're going to keep not being able to get out of it. And things are still not going to be able to change. You got to start rising up and speaking what you believe in your heart. And it might start out speaking it with your head. Sometimes you got to start out in the flesh to end up in the spirit. You hear me? But don't settle for the head. Don't just settle for believing with your head and confessing with your head, with your mind. You got to let it get down in your spirit. Speak it and speak it and speak it until you know this thing is true in your heart. And you got the guarantee, you got the proof of it, you got faith, and you know you got faith because you understand faith. Because you went to Life Faith Bible Church on Wednesday night and you heard about the ABCs of faith, right? You got the ABCs of faith. Faith knows its authority. Faith believes with the heart. And faith confesses with its mouth what it believes. It doesn't sit silent. You know, have you ever known something to be true and you just didn't want to say it? Huh? Well, I know God's here. I know He deserves some praise, but man, I don't feel like it. Right? Man, I know, I need to do something about this. You ever felt so oppressed, hard to open your mouth? The devil goes right at it. The devil has a spiritual muzzle. We've all experienced it. He'll put a muzzle on your mouth to keep you from speaking from your spirit. Speaking the truth, speaking the word. The moment he sees you in the flesh, he'll unlock that muzzle and say, go, baby, go. I just can't stand them and I don't care. And your mouth just starts going. Right? And then you go, oh, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Now, what does the truth say? It's like we can't talk. All of a sudden, this heaviness comes on our jawbone. It's the oppressiveness affects the jawbone. I know, I believe. Right? And it shows, then people show up at church, you know. You know, you try to praise God a little bit. Haven't been doing it all day. Why in the world should I do it now? I wish spiritually they sold those little wind-up teeth, those mouths. Wouldn't that be great? If they had spiritual ones that just, you know, it's full of the word. And you shove that in people's mouth and you just, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, no weapon formed against me will prosper, Jesus is Lord, yeah, 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 woo, hallelujah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just wind it up, you know. But unfortunately, that's what the devil has. He has those little things. He winds them up. All the wrong things come out. Somebody say, my words matter. Every word I speak, I'm going to esteem, respect, and honor. Hallelujah. We're going to watch what we say. Why should you watch what you say? Because you have what you say. Isn't that right? So stop saying what you have and start having what you say. Because that's what you're having anyway. But if you keep saying what you have, you're going to keep having what you're saying. Not necessarily what you're wanting. Right? Just this cycle. They call it, I love these people, they call it a hereditary curse. Right? A generational curse. It's a generational curse. How do you break the generational curse? Here, come here, let me show you. Right here. How do you break a generation? Come to our meeting. We're going to have a generation curse-breaking ceremony. We're going to teach you how to break the curse that's been plaguing you for generations. It was in my grandfather and my father. Now it's in me. I got the same problems my ancestors have. It's been passed on. I got to break the curse. Yeah, by getting your mouth in line. Right? Got to fix your jawbone. We can fix your tongue, we break the curse. Break the curse. Break the curse. That's too simple, though. That's too simple. We need something else. No, put oil on me. Put hands on me. Do something else for me. No, just change the way you talk. Do I have to? Yes, you have to. Change how you talk. Glory be to God. We can lay hands on you all day long. Wear out every hair on your head, but if you're gonna walk out of here and I just don't understand this. This traffic is driving me crazy. But I'm believing God for that twitch to go away. I'm believing God for they prayed for the twitch to go away, but the twitch isn't going away. But this traffic's driving me crazy. Well, maybe it's because you're saying the traffic's driving you crazy. That's why you're starting to experience craziness in your eye. Pastor, I just thought I was going to laugh to death. Why would you laugh to death? Don't die. Speak life, right? That just tickles me to death. No, it tickles me to eternal life. Tickles me to eternal life. Well, I'll be in heaven before you know it. Praise the Lord. I'm on my way to heaven. And I got the victory. Right? It's amazing that the devil's trained the tongue to say so many negative things, right? That scared me to death. Right? Horrible. Thank God we're changing it. Can you say amen? Glory be to God forever. Somebody say, I got the victory. I got authority. I believe in my heart the truth of God's word. And I only say what I hear my Father say. I only speak the truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.